Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This week, Pardes is bringing Tu Bishvat to you. Let's dive in.
Hi, this is Mish Hammer Kasoy, coming to you from Pardes in Jerusalem. With episode number 4 in our daily challenge, we are how we eat. While we've already demonstrated that Baal Tashchit applies to all objects, I feel that we would be remiss if we didn't dedicate a day, a special episode, to food. After all, the prohibition starts with fruit-bearing trees, and it's not surprising that the early Midrash Halacha already applies it to food. Said Rabbi Yishmael, if the Lord is so solicitous of the fruits of the tree, how much more of the tree itself? And if Scripture exhorts against cutting down a tree, which only produces fruit, how much more so does the Torah exhort against destroying the fruit itself? So we can learn directly from the Torah that the prohibition of destroying fruit trees includes the prohibition of destroying food. And as Michael Pollan describes in his beautiful book, The Omnivore's Dilemma, to one degree or another, the question of what to have for dinner assails every omnivore and always has. In a 1976 paper called The Selection of Food by Rats, Humans, and Other Animals, Rosen contrasted the omnivore's existential situation with that of a specialized eater for whom the dinner question could not be simpler. A koala bear does not worry about what to eat. It looks and smells and tastes like a eucalyptus leaf. It must be dinner. The koala's culinary preferences are hardwired in its genes. But for omnivores like us and the rat, a vast amount of brain space and time must be devoted to figuring out which of all of the many potential dishes nature lays on to eat. My premise is that like every other creature on earth, humans take part in a food chain, and our place in that food chain or web determines to a considerable extent what kind of creature we are. The fact of our omnivorousness has done much to shape our nature. Both body, we possess the omnicompetent teeth and jaws of the omnivore, equally well suited to tearing meat and grinding seeds, and soul. Some philosophers have argued that the very open-endedness of human appetite is responsible for both our savagery and civility. Since a creature that could conceive of eating anything, including notably other humans, stands in particular need of ethical rules, manners, and rituals. We are not only what we eat, but how we eat too. Jewish tradition could not agree more with Michael Pollan. Between the rules of kashrut, the blessings, and the Shabbat meals, the way we eat does much define who we are as Jews. And that is what makes the following Gemara much more significant. And it says in Talmud Bavli, Shabbat 140b, Rav Chisda also said, when one can eat barley bread, but eats wheaten bread, he violates Baal Tashchit. And Rav Papa said, when one can drink beer, but drinks wine, he violates Baal Tashchit. The Stam of the Gemara interjects, but this is incorrect. V'lav miltehi, Baal Tashchit degufa adif. This is incorrect. Thou shalt not destroy as applied to one's own person stands higher. Back in their day, barley was horse food, cheaper and harder to digest than wheat flour. Similarly, beer was for the poor and the uncultured. Thus, Rav Chisda and Rav Papa are both articulating the same thesis. Make do with the cheapest thing on the menu if you can manage it. Food is meant to sustain you, but should not be a form of indulgence. And to this, the Gemara soundly responds, no, taking care of your body is a religious precept of higher value than preserving objects. Eating well is spending, not wasting, resources. Now, I personally was introduced to the concept of Baal Tashchit with respect to food. Told, finish your green beans, children are starving and eat in China. So this story from Rabbi Michael Knopf really resonated with me. He said, and I quote, when I was growing up, my father would play a game with me. If I finished all the food on my plate, I would become a member of the Clean Plate Club. The reward for joining this elite club, dessert. If I was lucky, it was my grandfather's famous pecan pie with chocolate chips. I grew up learning that meals end when your plate is clear, not when you are full. And no matter how much you eat, or perhaps precisely because of how much you ate, there is always room for dessert. My lifelong trouble refraining from eating when I am no longer hungry has contributed to my lasting struggles with my weight. Many Americans share similar approaches to eating. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that the average American adult consumes about 2,700 calories per person per day, which is several hundred calories more than active, healthy weighing adults ought to consume. Those extra calories, unless burned off with proper exercise, can lead to gaining about a pound each week. Between the years 1970 and 2000, Americans' average daily calorie intake increased by about 500 calories. Not surprisingly, this time period roughly corresponds to the rise of this country's obesity epidemic, which today is one of America's top killers. Rabbi Knopf argues for the Deuteronomy diet: eat, be satisfied, and bless. And yet, the second passage from Deuteronomy, Bal Tashrit, don't waste, seems to run counter. And that is why I loved this psak from Rav Silberstein, the leading figure in B'nai Brak today, which capitalizes on our Gemara. Shabbat 140b states, Rav Chista said, someone who's able to eat barley bread and eats wheat bread transgresses the prohibition of Bal Tashrit. And the Gemara responds, it's not so. Bal Tashrit of the body takes precedence. That is to say, says Rav Silberstein, that the wheat is healthier for the body, and therefore one should have more mercy on the body than on the food. And all of that assumes that the wheat is better for the body. However, when the opposite is the case, when the food damages the body, there is a situation of Baal Tashchit. And it is possible that even if the food does not literally damage, rather disturbs one's health, that the person is transgressing Baal Tashchit. It is also appropriate to point out that perhaps it is forbidden to bless on food like this, which may be tasty, but is damaging to the person, since he's transgressing Baal Tashchit. Ultimately, Rav Silberstein goes on to rule that, in fact, one does make a brach on the food, but the point about that overeating is Baal Tashchit remains intact and so important. There's more than one way to waste food. And yet, food waste is a real issue, not just for the starving children around the world, but also for the environment. Food waste that ends up in landfills produces a large amount of methane, a more powerful greenhouse gas than even carbon dioxide. Greenhouse gases such as methane, carbon dioxide, chlorofluorocarbons absorb infrared radiation and heat up the Earth's atmosphere, causing global warming and climate change. With agriculture accounting for 70% of the water used throughout the world, food waste also represents a great waste of fresh water and groundwater resources. It is said that a volume of water roughly three times the volume of Lake Geneva is used to produce food that's not eaten. I'm citing here from Move for Hunger. By throwing out 1 kilogram of beef, you're essentially wasting 50,000 liters of water that were used to produce that meat. In the same way, nearly 1,000 liters of water are wasted when you pour one glass of milk down the drain. If you look at land usage, about 1.4 billion hectares of land, which is roughly one-third of the world's total agricultural land area, is used to grow food that is wasted. Millions of gallons of oil are also wasted every year to produce food that is not eaten. And so food waste is a very serious environmental problem. And our tradition sees this waste not just as a source of environmental destruction, but also in line with Rashi's philosophy as a tremendous disgrace to the food. The Shulchan Aruch states that we must be very respectful of food, and especially bread, symbolically our core source of nutrition. The Shulchan Aruch says, Osedamsar Chavbapat, Hanimili de Lo Maisbe, Avalmidi de Maisbe Lo, Hilkach, ein manichina lef basar chai, ve'ein mavirina lef kos malei, ve'ein sumchim bo keara. Ve'einot lina yadain b'yayin ben chai, ben mazug, afilu netila she'ein atzorech achila, ve'ein zorkin hapat mishum bizayon ochlim, u'kashen she'ein zorkin et hapat, kach ein zorkim ochlin hanimasim al yadei zrika. A person can use bread as they need to, as long as they do not ruin it. But they may not ruin it. Therefore, one may not leave raw meat on bread or pass a full cup over it, not lean a bowl on it. And do not use wine even for a mitzvah like hand washing. And do not throw bread because it is disgrace to the food. And just as one may not throw bread, so too it is prohibited to throw any food that will become distasteful as a result. So from all of these sources together, we have a picture of the special importance of food in defining us as human beings. My prayer for all of us is that we should have the wisdom to respect both the food and our bodies by purchasing, cooking, and consuming food in ways that raise both us and our food with dignity, spirituality, and gratitude. Now, in case you feel that we have wandered too far from our original topic, the protection of trees, I leave you with a selection from one of the most beloved musicians in the history of Israel, Arik Einstein, Zichrono Livracha, and his song entitled Trees. Thank you for listening, and thank you to our partners at Chazon, a Jewish lab for sustainability. To learn more about our partnership and to get support in reducing waste, visit www.pardes.org.il/pardesdaily. Until tomorrow, enjoy this song.
יש בעולם, אז תחת איזה עץ לשבת שהצל ייפול עליי כולו, ויהיה לי טוב. כל כך הרבה ימים יש בעולם, אז תגיד באיזה ים לשחות, שהחוף יהיה תמיד קרוב, ויהיה לי טוב. כל כך הרבה מילים יש בעולם, אז איך אדע מה את חושבת? כל כך הרבה אולי, כל כך הרבה אבל, כל כך דומים אנחנו בעולם. כל כך הרבה דרכים יש בעולם, אז איך אוכל לבחור בדרך שבא אלך לי יד הסוף, ויהיה לי טוב. כל כך הרבה מילים יש בעולם, אז איך אדע מה את חושבת? Harbei